Help is on the way this week on Scrambled Eggs here on Cracked Sidewalks, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Welcome in, everyone. Thanks for listening. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you. Talk recruiting today, Phil. Hey, we got another one coming in.
Hey, we got one out of four. Now we just need to go get three more.
Yeah, we'll talk about the scholarship situation and the week ahead for Marquette basketball and the look back at National Marquette Day as well. But we're going to begin with Marquette's pronunciation, correct? I am 90% confident that it is Sakar Anim is how you put it.
And the one place you did not scour for the correct pronunciation was me, and that was very intelligent of you.
Yeah, and I also didn't ask Sakar himself. But just going through some videos I was able to find with the interviews and stuff, I believe the name is pronounced Sakar Anim. Maybe proven wrong when he's introduced to the program. But if you hadn't heard by now, on Monday, the 6'5", swingman you would call him, from De La Salle High School.
2'3".
De La Salle High School in Minneapolis, Minnesota, committed to Marquette. So he is verbally committed, so Wojo can't comment on him until he officially signs his letter of intent, which he said he plans to do when the signing period opens in April.
Yep, April 15th, I believe.
Correct. And so this is a kid, Phil, who basically he takes Nick Niskoviak's place in Marquette's scholarship table. So you lose an incoming freshman, and then you bring in an incoming freshman. Basically, you know, I don't know much about him. He's kind of an unknown. He's rated like a three-star prospect by most scouting services. So, I mean, looks like a nice player, maybe something building for the future with him. I don't know if we can expect too much for him next year, but he certainly appears to be a nice player.
Well, I think he's, you know, by all accounts, in reading Matt Valaquez's recap of his commitment and some other, you know, scouring the internet, that bastion of truth in all things recruiting. It sounds like if he's going to contribute next year, it's going to be on the defensive end, that he's kind of defense first, offensive second. It's probably one of those situations where short term, Nick probably would have been a better fit. Given, you know, to be polite, what we've seen coming out of Nick's corner, Sakar's long term capability is probably a higher ceiling.
Yeah, and for, you know, I will say this for Sakar, he's coming from a successful program. That's never a bad thing. De La Salle has actually won three straight state championships. Not that he has had a huge role in all those three, but I'm sure he has for the last couple. When he was a sophomore and junior, and now they are going for their fourth consecutive state title this year. So he's used to winning, so that's not a bad thing. Looks like Marquette beat out Northwestern in some mid-majors. That seemed to be the limit of his offers. So you could label that however you want, diamond in the rough, under-recruited, or, you know, maybe he's just a little bit of a project at the next level, but we'll see. But Wojo has seen him play twice, liked what he saw, so Wojo's opinion of him is much stronger than yours or mine. So Wojo likes what he saw, so we'll see how he develops at Marquette. But, I mean, the bottom line, this is some depth, whereas if, you know, Marquette gets in a foul situation like we saw against Villanova, this will be a guy who will be able to come off the bench as a scholarship player and hopefully somebody who can, you know, develop into a nice scorer for the Golden Eagles in the future.
Yeah, and he's got some familiarity with Marquette and the facilities and stuff, so it makes a natural fit. He's, the last 3 years, either with his high school team or with his AAU team, he's played games at the Owl in previous events, and including he played a game at the Owl and then was stuck around for the Alabama A&M game this season. So he's not a stranger to the program, and like you said, Wojo is high on him. So at this point, that's going to be good enough for me. And like we talked about last time, you know, it's really about building a solid foundation. Sakar may or may not. I mean, he may be a late bloomer, which everyone seems to say, but, you know, how much do you buy into that? But if he is a late bloomer, then maybe we got a bit of a steal. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to have someone that needs 2 years to develop into a really good player. You don't have to have one and dones and superstars the first time.
Yeah, as long as he knows that coming in. Yeah, you know, right. as long as he's patient with a star or lead scorer, and he'll just have to play that smaller role until his time comes in the Marquette rotation. So, again, seems to be a good relationship between him and Wojo. You know, I forget who tweeted it out. I want to give credit where it was due, but someone tweeted out the story. Apparently, like, the whole relationship started between Marquette and Sakar when Wojo went to go watch Ellenson play at an event in Minneapolis. and Sakar was playing in the game before and dropped 31 points. And then that's kind of when Wojo thought, oh, maybe I'll come back and see this guy.
It's shades of Joe Fulce and Jimmy Butler.
Shades.
Yeah, they're in the same area, like they're on the same planet.
I get what you're saying. You know, you were going down there for one, and maybe you get something else. So get another one. So again, hopefully he develops into a nice player. So again, one more off the scholarship table for next year. So a little more depth. Four guys now coming in, Phil. Three scholarships still to play with for Wojo, and really don't know, really no idea where he's going to go with them, because really don't know what's going to be available or what's out there. I mean, there's some names thrown out there on the JUCO circuit. I don't know what to think about them. They appear to be nice players, but I'm sure most people seem to assume that at least one of those scholarships would go to a graduate transfer, someone who could be a veteran leader next year, kind of like the way Carlino has been for this team.
Yeah, it goes without saying, one of them has to be a point guard, and preferably a veteran point guard that can play right away, like a grad transfer, and the other one has to be some sort of energetic rebounder. You know, and just from a balance of the classes standpoint, you need probably a JUCO and at least one of the players to be a graduate transfer. I don't know that you're going to have the JUCO could be a rebounder, but I don't know that you're going to have a starting point guard come in as a JUCO. Maybe, but the transition between JUCO and Division I is significant enough, and point guard is such a glaring weakness that I don't know that you're going to want to take that risk.
Yeah. Maurice O'Field is a name I've seen thrown around a lot for Marquette. He is actually listed similarly to Sakar, though. He's like a 6'5", 2'3", so I'm not necessarily a point guard, but not that he would not be a good guy to have. Marquette could always use some more depth, but... That's just one JUCO name that's out there. But, yeah, I agree with you that one guy that is added one way or another has to be a point guard. And because, Dwayne Wilson, as much as we like him, we're not sure if he's going to be the lead point guard or if he's going to be a combo guard. Or, you know, so whether this point guard that Wojo recruits is going to be the guy who starts at point guard next year or a guy who backs up Dwayne, if Dwayne's going to be the starting point guard, that still seems to be a huge area of need, because Sakar Anem does not appear right away to be a point guard at the next level, at least not for immediate help. So I think point guard is a big area of need, and I'd still like to see another big added for next year, just a little more depth if Luke Fisher's in foul trouble, I think would be nice for next year too. So, but again, we just don't know who's going to be out there, what kind of graduate transfers will be available. So just, I guess it's kind of a wait and see on those last three scholarships.
Right. Well, and because if you look at the roster of the known entity, of the players that we think maybe rumor speculation could play point guard next year, Dwayne Wilson, maybe. There's chatter of Hanif Chatham playing point guard. Other than that, we really don't have any options. So, that dictates that it has to be someone that's not on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think that is probably now that, Anem's commitment is in the books. I think that's kind of probably the next thing Wojo's probably looking at is point guard. And I'm sure he knows that. So I'm sure he's going to be spending plenty of time between now and through the rest of April to shore up that spot. So, again, we'll just wait and see. It's good to have one one more freshman on board for next year, though. So I'm pretty sure, barring a commitment or, a drastic change of heart from a one-and-done player somewhere, I would be very surprised if another freshman was added to this current class.
I agree. It would not make any sense to make a freshman available.
Yeah, again, unless it's a game-changing freshman. Like,
right.
All... Henry Ellison.
Is there another Ellison brother out there that I'm not aware of?
Maybe there is. I don't know. But, yeah, if Ellison wants to go to the McDonald's game and start selling Marquette on some of those uncommitted guys, and there are actually a lot in the McDonald's game this year, if he wants to do that, that would be great. But don't hold your breath on that one. Like I said, I fully expect that I'm guessing that Wojo is probably done with 2015 high school kids. So now I think it's on to JUCOs and grad students, and that's something we'll get into at a later date. But I can think of, next thing to talk about, Phil, on the podcast today is I want to look back at National Marquette Day, and we kind of knew it was going to be a tough game coming in, and then the game started, and we didn't realize it was going to be even tougher than we even thought when we found out Juan Anderson wasn't going to play. So 8 strong has gone from 7 down to 6 strong, and to play against the number 6 team in the country with only 6 healthy bodies, that was a challenge. And I thought, even despite the loss, I thought Marquette did play pretty well in that game.
Oh, absolutely.
All things considered.
I don't personally believe in moral victories, but that's about as close as you can get to a moral victory. And it really came down. I mean, they clearly had the talent to hang with Villanova for the most part. And you know, the game was really over by about with about 10 minutes left. Marquette just didn't have the gas or the horses to get closer than 10, maybe 8 points at any given time. And again, it wasn't for lack of effort or trying. It was just simply they didn't have enough. There was a couple of times where they really should have pushed the ball, and Derek Wilson slowed it down just because everyone needed to breathe.
Yeah.
There just wasn't enough horses there to get the job.
I mean, when you think about it, Wojo had 6 guys, meaning he got to pick out one guy every few minutes to get some rest. And the other 5 guys had to play. And so then he had to sub in that one guy to bring in and let somebody else get some rest. So, I mean, when you look at the minutes played, it's pretty ridiculous. Derek Wilson played 40 minutes. Luke Fisher played 36. That is a lot for a center. Juwan played 36. Dwayne played 34. So, those guys spread themselves thin in that game. And, you know, my hat's off to them. I know, like, they're probably sick and tired of moral victories, but they are not going to get bashed by me for that effort. I thought they played their butts off in that game, and they just lost to a really, really good team. They gave it all they had. So,
plus we had a Machi signing.
Yeah, one of the.
If you had Michael for your first into the game bet, please go to the window and collect your winnings.
Yeah, that was so funny. You know, one of the walk-ons got into the game because Marquette ran out of players because they had 2 guys foul out. And so you do the math, it's only 4 guys out there. So Wojo joked, you know, after the game, you know, I couldn't put both of the twins in. So he had to pick one. And so, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, Michael, get in there and play for 1 minute. And, hey, he got after me, and he got an offensive rebound. So.
Yeah, the crowd responded appreciatively. It was shades of Rob Frozina in the building.
God, oh man, you know the funny thing to me, you know, watching that game, because you know the game was out of hand at that point, but I was just thinking, man, if the walk-on could hit a shot, that would have covered. And a walk-on hitting a shot to cover, because the spread I think was 9.5. And they were up 11, or you know, they were down 11. So if he could have gotten a 2 there in the final seconds, that would have been one of the funniest ways to get a backdoor cover in a game.
Yeah, that would be amazing. One other thing I do want to talk about with the game, and some of it comes from, you know, just getting minutes and playing through. But you know, I wouldn't say Juwan Johnson has arrived, but he's certainly come. A fair bit from where he was, you know, start a conference season. And I, for one, have always had a hesitation around Trey Jay's kind of game, especially this year. I think he played out of control a lot. I don't know if it was because he was too tired to push too hard or
yeah,
what.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. But, yeah.
But he had a solid game, and the one thing that came up is Wojo talked about in the post game. He especially singled out Juwan as having really learned to practice well and really playing control, and that how pleased he's been with his kind of performance since that benching for the Xavier game. I thought that was really good, and hopefully that shows good coaching from Wojo, and we'll see, you know, see them be able to develop players as we go forward.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about Johnson, because with the roster as it currently stands, you would have to pencil Juwan in as a starting guard next to Dwayne next year, because we don't know who's going to be added between now and then. And even if someone is added, he may still be a starting guard next year, depending on how things all shake out. But, prior to the last few games, I was really uncertain about Johnson's future and if he was ever kind of was going to – so as they say, get it. If he was ever going to really get it, or develop into a consistent player. And now I'm thinking maybe he can. Because when he plays more under control, which he has, he actually hit 3 3-point shots in that game, which was rare. I don't know if we can expect that every night, but if maybe another off season of
right
work with Brett Nelson wouldn't hurt with his shooting. But he is playing more mature. And I remember when he was benched, you know, like unofficially suspended, you know, a few weeks ago for that one game, for practice issues. We talked on the podcast, Phil. Is he going to push back or is he going to shut down? And he did push back, and he has matured, and he has bounced back, and still showed that he wants to be a part of the team and wants to learn. And I think it's refreshing. And I think Wojo is probably happy that Juwan kind of got off the mat there and said, and looked at himself in the mirror and said, all right, I'm going to practice harder. I'm going to be better. And he is getting better. So, again, will he get 20 points every night? Probably not. But as he continues to mature, play more under control, and be just more of a consistent player, if not, I don't need flashy. You know, he'd just be a little bit more of a consistent player, then I think that bodes well for next year, because they need him to be a scorer of some type next year, whether it's coming off the bench and being a sixth man or being a starter and being a go-to guy. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, and to be fair to him, and it's something I forget a fair amount. You know, last season was kind of a lost season for him. He had almost little to no development under Buzz Williams, which was one of the things you could really kind of knock Buzz for. So much like Luke Fisher, we feel like it feels like Luke Fisher's been here for 5 years or whatever, but he's really only in his first ever season of college basketball, other than a couple of throwaway games at Indiana to start his season. So Juwan Johnson, this is really his first year, much like Dwayne Wilson. This is really his first full year where he's getting a lot of practice time, a lot of playing time, and is really starting to develop. And kind of as a segue from Juwan, I also think, bold prediction, I think Dwayne Wilson has better than a 50-50 shot of setting the all-time scoring record and taking it from
Jarrell.
I think he will surpass Jarrell as the all-time leading scorer at Marquette before his career is done, assuming he stays healthy.
And assuming he stays 4 years.
Correct.
Too. Yeah, because keep in mind, after his redshirt junior year, he would probably even have enough credits to graduate. So, you know, again, but it is a good point. If Dwayne does stay till his redshirt senior year at Marquette, he could be averaging, you know, if you're averaging, what is he averaging, like 12
and a half,
a game,
I think, right now?
Yeah, you know, as a freshman. So he gets a head start on guys like Jarrell and Dominic James, who didn't score quite that much as freshmen, and could really, yeah, he could get up there if he continues at this pace for 4 years. Sure, I think the boldness of that statement isn't in his ability to score, is whether he stays that long to
right to yeah. to make up for the yeah to give him the time to score that,
because if he stays 4 years, I'd say it's pretty good shot he does,
right?
Because you would think he's only going to get better, and if he stays healthy, yeah, he could score a lot of points,
right? And I mean, it really assumes that he stays as a two guard, though, because if he moves over to point guard, you know, I know he could be a score first point guard, but when you've got the roster makeup we're going to have next year and maybe the year after, assuming Ellenson's there for 2 years, you're not going to really be a scoring first point guard on that team.
Yeah, maybe not. But he'll get his points.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dwayne Wilson didn't have a great game against Villanova, so maybe it seems weird to say that. But again, this is where, for all intents and purposes, Dwayne Wilson is a freshman. He's going to show these inconsistencies. You know, so the most improvement, he's not only going to improve his game over the, you know, the off season, but he will more than likely improve his consistency, where, you know, instead of having, you know, this great game where he's scoring 22 points and then this game, you know, he scores 8 points and struggles, it's going to be a lot of games where he's scoring 18, 19, 20 points, and he's just really smooth and consistent. And I think that's going to be the biggest change between this year and next year, is he'll be a lot more consistent come next year.
And that would be huge because that's exactly what Marquette needs.
Right. They need a player. They need a player to go to when everything else bogs down.
Yeah, and I think next year as a guy, he will be in his second full year playing, but third year on the program. Yeah, Dwayne could be that guy for sure.
Right. I mean, this year was by default almost, you know, it was essentially Matt Carlino and as much as, you know, I like the guy and I think he's been a great addition to the roster, there's just no way that Matt Carlino is going to be the guy, the go-to scoring guy. It just, the offense bogs down, and we've kind of seen that with Matt Carlino out apparently with a, you know, just his brain's completely scrambled. The offense, I think the offense has struggled, but I don't think it's as bogged down as much as it did when Matt was in there, simply because players aren't deferring to Matt exclusively. They're each kind of taking their opportunity to do something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Carlino's been great from the fact that he can shoot from the outside and has some leadership. But yeah, to your point, the ball does stop with him sometimes, and you know when the ball stops when he gets it, you know some other guys might shut down a little bit,
right?
Because like they know they're not going to get it back. So, but you know, it does suck that he hasn't been able to play the last few games because obviously that hurts depth, and you would love to have an extra shooter and scorer out there. It's unfortunate for Carlino, really. As we kind of shift gears here and talk about, you know, his situation, it's because there's only 2 weeks, right? Two and a half weeks left in the season.
Yeah, four games plus the tournament.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder, honestly, if he'll ever play again.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, his concussion, and concussions can be so tricky. It's not like a sprained ankle where there's like a timetable where if you take care of it and rest it and ice it, you know, you'll be back in no time. But with a concussion, it could get worse even if you didn't do anything to make it worse. And he just kind of stayed the same between the Creighton game where, you know, he traveled with the team, was sitting on the bench, people think, oh, okay, well, he's traveled with the team, he's sitting on the bench, he was kind of a game time decision, he'll definitely be ready for Villanova. And then turns out he didn't practice at all the week leading up to Villanova. You know, Matt, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe you just need to shut it down.
Well, that is the thing right now. The only reason he goes, you know, and this is maybe a terrible thing to say, but the only reason you put him out there is if A, he's 100% healthy, and B, you know, he's going to help you, because it's not like we have anything on the line right now. I mean, we're playing to get experience and time. So if Matt Carlino's not available, you know, is that really, you know, it forces Wojo to not play him and to play his other players more and get some reps out of them. So
it's more minutes for Juwan Johnson and Dwayne Wilson,
right?
For sure.
Yeah, so, exactly. So I think you want him back.
Thing is, as we saw against Villanova, though, when you're missing one more guy, right, when Juan Anderson goes down, then you're exhausted.
Right. Well, that'll be curious to see if Juan Anderson will be available for Wednesday and if Matt Carlino's available Wednesday against Butler. If Carlino doesn't play Wednesday, I would anticipate he's done for the season. I don't see any reason you bring him back.
I will say this, though. I think if he's healthy, you definitely bring him back in the Big East tournament because that's your Hail Mary.
Oh, sure.
You know, yeah. So I would, and like I could actually see, to be honest, my realistic thinking with Carlino is, they'll just rest him as much as they can, and then if he's ready for the Big East tournament, they'll throw him out there and just, you know, see what happens, roll the dice, and see if they can pull off a miracle in New York or just get a win or two just to go out with some kind of high note. But it'd be nice if he could play on senior night against DePaul.
Right.
But honestly, I'm not expecting Carlino at all this week. Who knows if he'll even travel? Because with concussions, sometimes they don't even want you getting on airplanes and stuff like that. So we'll see how his situation develops. But to be honest with you, I am not too optimistic based on the way the past couple weeks have gone, and concussions are so unpredictable. So it'd be great to have him back out there just for the depth and the leadership, and just one more guy who can shoot the ball. Because as we've seen, when he's on, he can really help you win some games. But these two games coming up, Phil, they're going to be pretty tough. I mean, you're going to Hinkle to play Butler, and then you're going to the Dunk to play Providence. Marquette's best win of the year, but you know they beat Providence at home back in January.
That was the win that gave us all hope. We're going, see, yeah, we got a shot at this.
Yeah, exactly. After we Marquette went out there and beat Providence, we're all thinking, hey, you know, we're going to be right in the mix. We're going to be right in the middle of the Big East. And then not so much.
Yeah.
But hey, well, they, at least they can hang their hats on that. Maybe Providence, you know, Providence will be in the tournament for sure. And, you know, maybe Providence goes to the Elite Eight or something. And we say, yep, yeah, we beat them. We beat them. That'd be great. But yeah, it's going to be a tough week. You're playing two ranked teams on the road. Marquette hasn't not beaten a team on the road this season. So it's Wednesday at Butler, Sunday actually at Providence.
Well,
so
it's
going to be two tough games.
Right. And then we're likely worst case scenario, we're at six players, which I don't think you can go on the road and play six players and possibly be successful. And, you know, maybe we'll have Juan or Matt back, which gives us seven deep. But even still, seven players is hardly a great indicator of success. So, again, we're getting experience. It's a respect the process moment. We're just trying to learn what we can and get players run time and then we'll just let the chips fall where they may. I'm not saying you go in and don't try to win, but I don't think winning's
absolutely. I mean, absolutely, you try to win. I mean, you definitely go out there and try to play spoiler. The thing is, Marquette's going to have a great chance to play spoiler when they host St. John's next week. St. John's is right there on the bubble, and a loss to Marquette is the kind of loss that would be catastrophic to their tournament chances. So they'll get a chance to play spoiler against St. John's next week, and then you know, maybe a little payback game against DePaul that in the end won't mean anything, but it would just be nice to win on senior night.
I don't want to get swept by DePaul.
That would be tough to swallow.
That would be the worst thing about the entire season at this point.
Like the 8-9 game or something. And then, or the 7-10 game, then you get a...
Well, at least we have that totally debunked, you can't lose to the same team three times in a season thing.
You would hope
thing.
So, but man, we'll worry about that next week. Let's just worry about this week, yep. This week. You know, but again, looking at the two games, to be perfectly honest, not expecting a win in either one of them. Just, like you said, Phil, I think it's just kind of a respect the process week, and we'll see how much playing time and what they can do with it. Guys like Juwan and Dwayne get this week, depending on who's healthy. I would hope that, I don't know how bad Juan Anderson's ankle is, because he was on the bike during that game, you know, warming up, looking like he was trying to get into the game, and it just wasn't loosening up for him. So, I
had a really good view of him on the bench, and he was bouncy and jumping up and down and stuff like that, but during warm-ups, both at before the game and coming out of halftime, he had no lateral movement. So I think, you know, it was probably one of these cases where in an emergency he could have played, or, you know, if it might have meant the difference between a win or not winning, he might have been available. But, you know, hopefully, I guess he injured it on Thursday, so it was kind of a last-minute thing. Maybe he's gotten enough rest, but we'll see. I actually, if anyone's going to play, I think Matt's more likely to play than Juan would be my guess. But even then,
Michael better stay loose.
Yeah,
because I think they got a shot this week.
Now here's the question: Does Wojo put in the other twin?
Wojo looked at it, because I don't know if one has. I don't know if one has a significant skill set over the other. Like I don't know if one's like a better rebounder, right, or the other's a better shooter. I don't know. I guess they're kind of about the same. Wojo said,
"Well, twins. Everyone knows twins do the exact same things, and they have the exact
same capability. They all like the same thing, and everything. They're all the same favorite foods.
It's just
and
science.
You know, date girls that look alike. So, I don't know. But yeah, I would assume if there's a walk on situation. So, hopefully, it doesn't come down to that, and seven strong is a thing again, and you know, they can at least finish a game, if not win it.
Here's to hoping for winning. If not, let's just be competitive again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said going into the Villanova game. Just don't get embarrassed, and they didn't. They played really well.
Yep.
You know, we joke about how it's been a rough year. Give them credit where it's due. They played tough. They played well. They just played a team that was much, much better than them, and I think that's kind of what I'm expecting this week. They'll play well. They haven't quit. This team is still, the only game where they really looked overmatched, like they were just totally deflated, was the first Villanova game when Carlino did go out with the concussion. But other than that, I mean, they fought. They've been in every game, and I thought we'll see how they do. And I don't think they're going to quit this week. They're going to be in it. They're going to fight hard. I just don't think they're going to win.
Right. Agreed.
All right. Well, that's going to just about do it for this week's podcast, unless I forgot anything, Phil.
No, I think we covered all the main points.
All right, well, that's good. As always, we thank you for listening here on Scrambled Eggs. As always, you can catch us on Twitter. Hit us up with your comments, your thoughts about the podcast. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-O-O-F-23. Crack Sidewalks is the team Twitter handle. You can find us on cracksidewalks.com. That's where Phil always posts the podcasts. Of course, we have a Facebook page. You post them on there as well. And, of course, hit us up on iTunes. Takes wherever you go. Phil, let's just be competitive this week.
Yeah, let's win one for the Carlino.
Let's just be interesting.
Okay, yeah, let's not have to turn the game off at halftime.
Let's do that. All right. Seashells and balloons, everyone.